Help us to keep our hearts and minds turned to you. May you be praised and glorified. You are a holy God, and you invite us to be holy as you are holy. Let our minds be quiet before you. The psalmist draws our attention to the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. What is man that you think of him? Yet we hear your words in Isaiah when you say, I have written your name on my hand. Lord, we pause for a moment to consider that, our name written on your hand. Take a moment to think of the names of those sitting next to you and pray for them now. Heavenly Father, you know each of us by name, and you love us so much that you did not spare even your own Son, who took the punishment that we deserved to the cross. Despite our tendency to wander, you pursue us and love us. Thank you, Lord, because of what you accomplished on the cross, all our sins can be forgiven, and we can know the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Thank you for holding us in your hand. Lord, there are many who do not know you, and we pray for those who take great risks as they travel to dangerous parts of this world in order to spread the gospel message. Help us here, too, at home, to have courage to see when and where your Spirit may be leading us to bring your name to others here and in our neighborhood. Father, we thank you for this church family. We pray that you will provide great wisdom, clarity, and guidance to us, and in particular the search committee, as we seek to determine your will in finding a pastor to lead us. Thank you that you will provide the right person for the work to be done. And in regard to family, we praise you and thank you that you have blessed Peter and Janet as they celebrate 62 years of marriage. We praise God for this. Please continue to bless them, Lord. Thank you for family relationships which you have established, and we pray your protection on the family unit as it continues to come under attack in our culture. We celebrate, too, with Pim and Marguerite as they both graduated this past week from LDN. Lord, there may be some here today who are suffering with pain, whether it be emotional or physical. We pray that they would have the assurance that you are with them. You will hold them. We ask you to be close to Lynette and grant her peace as she faces surgery for cancer in just a few days. Thank you, Lord, that you have promised never to leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Lord, for those who have let their names stand for the work of deacon and elders in this church, and we pray that you will bless them in the work here as we seek to glorify your name. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the congregational meeting today, as well as the church picnic which follows the service. We praise you and thank you for the wonderful weather for that today. And now, Lord, prepare our hearts and minds as we hear your message this morning. Please bless Pastor Martin as he brings us your word today. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Friends, this morning we want to talk about a reality that's basic to all of us as human beings, and that is this need to belong. I hope all of you who came through the doors this morning into church know not only that you're welcomed here, but that you belong, especially if you're a member, that you also belong to each other. And maybe if you came in the doors this morning as a guest, Part of what this morning is about for you is wondering if this is a place that I could belong or our family could belong. And God's Word has some powerful things to say about belonging. And so I'd like to have you listen with me as we read from Isaiah chapter 43, a favorite passage of mine in the Old Testament. Isaiah 43. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you or called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Sheba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give nations in exchange for you and peoples in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The word of the Lord. Some time ago in the Vancouver Sun, there was an article about high school kids here in Langley who consider themselves homeless. They don't sleep in cardboard boxes on the streets, but they couch surf at their friends' places, or they try to find shelter, of which there are very few here in Langley. These are kids who have a profound sense that they really don't belong anywhere. And it's not just some high school kids in Langley. Whenever you turn on the news these days and you see the plight of thousands of Central American refugees congregating at the U.S. southern border, desperately trying to enter because of gang violence and intolerable conditions in their own countries, we get a sense that they don't feel like they belong anywhere either. Or millions of others who have fled because of war, refugees who literally don't feel like they belong. I think these examples illustrate one of the most basic needs that we have as human beings, the sense that you belong. Some of you know a little bit about our family story. We have three grandchildren who joined their family not through birth, but through adoption. Two little girls and a little boy who had no home. One was left on the street in front of a store, about a week old. Another one was left at the entrance of an orphanage, and little Liam was left in the waiting room of a hospital. And although our son John and his wife Anne have embraced them in their family and are doing, I'm a little biased here, but they're doing a great job as parents, I can't help but wonder sometimes as these kids grow up, what's going to go through their minds as they get older? The questions they're going to ask, who am I? Where did I come from? Was there something wrong with me? Why was I abandoned? Will my parents ever abandon me now at some point? And so as you can imagine, the focus right now in terms of parenting is on creating this deep sense of belonging. And adoption, as you know, is one of the metaphors that Paul uses in Galatians to remind us that this process of adoption is the way that we belong to God. We are adopted as his children. I think there's something that resonates deeply with us when we think of people who are orphaned or estranged from family or country. Deep down, it has this whole thing of, do I belong? Yesterday, I watched a Netflix talk by Brené Brown. Some of you have read some of her books, a sociologist who talks a lot about shame and vulnerability. And in this TED Talk, I think that's what it was, she talked about the difference between belonging and trying to fit in. They're not the same. You know, when you always do this dance, when you come, say, into a church or a new community, and you sort of think to yourself, what do I need to do to change to actually fit in with this group of people? That's very different than this sense of belonging that I know many of you have, where there's no question. You don't have to change to belong. You can be who you are, no strings attached. You're accepted for who you are. But for many people, they're missing that sense of intimacy and belonging. It happens in marriages. It happens in universities, especially when students come in the fall, and some of you high school students who may be heading off to university in the fall may run into this. You may run into a situation where you're in a dormitory and you don't know anybody. And so you're trying to look around to say, where do I belong? And so you try to fit into different groups. You try to hang out maybe with the party crowd or the drinking crowd or the sports crowd or the arts crowd. And truth be told, there are some students, I'm told, at universities who can't find it anywhere. And so they kind of hole up in their dorm rooms and they play a lot of video games or they study all the time because, truth be told, they don't feel like they belong. There may well also be people in this church who, when they hear the invitation, as you just heard, for coffee after church, they hesitate to participate because maybe they don't know very many people here. And they've tried it once or twice, and they stand there, and they hope somebody engages them in a conversation that might create a sense of hope that this could possibly be a place where I could find new friends. Or they just leave because it's just too hard. They're maybe introverts. They don't make conversation easily. And that's the way it happens sometimes. We all want to belong. And belonging, friends, is one of the basic components of the Christian faith. It's critical to it's foundational to discipleship. And that's what Isaiah talks about in Isaiah 43. He's talking to people who felt like they didn't belong. They're exiles living in Babylon, and they don't feel like they belong there. And what's worse, they don't feel like they belong to their God either. Now, of course, that feeling didn't happen overnight. The first part of Isaiah talks about God's people being taken away into exile because of the lack of faith practices. They didn't know God anymore. They didn't care to follow His word or His laws. And they were taken into exile as judgment for that. And Isaiah is a book in the first half, at least, which was written to people in captivity. And in the latter half of the book, where we find our scripture this morning, God is preparing to bring His people back. That's the context of Isaiah 43. And He needs to assure His people that He has not forgotten them. They still matter. They still belong to Him. But you know what? It's been over 50 years. And the people have kind of lost their way. They've lost the rituals and the reminders that they belong to God. The temple worship, the feast days, the weekly rhythm of Sabbath. In exile, they were stripped of their identity. They're in a place now where they don't belong. They used to have a relationship with God, but that was then, and this is now. Maybe that describes you this morning. You used to have a much more vibrant relationship with God, but it's kind of faded. And you wonder if you really belong to God or to this church. Life has a way of giving you some reality checks that make you wonder as well. Sometimes you come here for worship and you notice there's a baptism service and the church is a little fuller than usual and a young couple brings up their baby to be baptized, and you think to yourself, yeah, that used to be us. I remember when we brought our kids for baptism, our son or our daughter. And we gave them a Christian education, and they were involved in the youth groups and in GEMS and cadets and later with youth group at school and all of that. But they kind of let it all go, some of these kids. Maybe you made some vows many years ago where you publicly professed your faith. You didn't know everything back then, but you were committed. You really were. But your life of faith didn't seem to be sustained. To have a relationship with God, as in any relationship, you need to put a little effort into it. In some of the spiritual practices that sustain and grow our faith, you used to have them more than you do now. And so perhaps you've come to this place, maybe midlife or whatever, later life, where you feel like you don't belong as much anymore. And if you would look at the context of Isaiah 43, chapter 42 talks about people who kind of let it go. And it's not a very pretty picture. I'll let you read that at home. But I want to focus on chapter 43. Isaiah says, but now, this is what the Lord says. Something is going to change. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. You belong to me. What Isaiah is doing here is giving God's people a very short, potent history lesson of all that he's done for them. And he starts with Abraham calling him out to create a whole new people. I formed you into a people, and you are like no other nation on earth. That's why I gave you special laws, God says. You were created to look different than the nations around you. I gave you kosher laws about what you should eat, about how you should cook your food, laws about how you should cleanse yourself, laws about how you could conduct your business, laws about how you should worship, laws about how to treat the stranger and the foreigner. I spelled it all out for you because I wanted you to be my people. And then God goes on and he uses this word redeemed. I have redeemed you. That Old Testament word redeemed is the word goel. And it's really, to best explain that word, I have to give you a picture. And the picture is the story of Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite. She married an Israelite man who came to her country because there was famine in the land of Israel. And they got married, and then he died. And so Ruth is a widow, a young widow. And she came back to Israel to live with her mother-in-law, but she was a nobody. She didn't belong anywhere, and she was really vulnerable. And a rich farmer saw her as she was gleaning in his fields, and he decided after a while he wanted to marry her. But again, God had some laws about that. And the law was that if a husband died, usually the brother of the man who died was supposed to marry the widow so that the name of her husband could continue in the land, in the community. And this widow would have a place. And in the end of the story, you know it, Boaz marries Ruth and she belongs. And God uses that language to describe what he wants to do for his people. He says, I'm stepping in to redeem you. You who feel like you don't belong, I have claimed you as my own. And friends, that's why this idea of belonging is so incredibly important to our faith formation, because everything else flows out of it. It really does. This sense of belonging is critical because sometimes this is the only thing that you have left to hang on to. Look at what the text says. I wonder if you can put that back up on the screen just so we can follow along. Verse 3, when you pass through the rivers, I am with you. Notice it doesn't say if, but it says when. The Bible's pretty clear that belonging to Jesus doesn't make you immune to suffering or sickness or even death. When you're in over your head, God says, know that I'm with you. When you get overwhelmed by family issues and relationships go south, when sickness suddenly feels like somebody pulled the rug from underneath you, know that I am with you, says God. When you suddenly find yourself unemployed because of a company buyout or whatever, know that I'm with you. When you're overwhelmed by some financial struggles of needing to buy a house in this crazy market and wanting to put your kids through Christian school and wanting to support kingdom causes, know that I am with you, says God. And when you can no longer seemingly reach one of your children because of depression or addiction, I am with you. When you lose a spouse to cancer or any other disease, know that I am with you. The text goes on, when you go through fire, it won't touch you. You won't even smell like smoke, says Isaiah. It'll be a crisis, but eventually you'll come through on the other side because I am with you. Isaiah reminds the people there about the story of Daniel. Again, a picture. Daniel and his three friends, stripped of their identity in Babylon, thrown into a fiery furnace because they refused to go with the flow of Babylonian culture and give their spiritual allegiance to the king. When you go through the fire, it will not set you ablaze, says God, because I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And then notice verse 3. It says, for I will give Egypt as your for your ransom, Cush and Sheba, names of countries back then, in your stead. What is he saying here? Well, when Israel was in bondage to Egypt, you all know that story, God delivered them in a miraculous way through the 10 plagues. And every Egyptian family lost their firstborn, and that event sets Israel free. It started the Exodus out of slavery. Well, God is reminding his children in Babylon now that he's setting them up. There's a new Exodus coming. And God says, I'm going to do more than I did last time. I'm going to give you Sheba and Cush. I'm throwing in some other countries. I'd rather give up three Gentile nations as the price of keeping you, because that's how much I loved you. I've called you by name. This is the new Exodus, so don't be afraid. You belong to me. Friends, this is what Jesus does for his people. We belong to him, and he brings us together. And I need to tell you that because some of you here really don't maybe experience that very much right now. You know people who are living, maybe it's you, or others who are living kind of on the margins without much hope. And Jesus, as your Redeemer, says to you, I've got you covered. I will do whatever it takes to bring you home, to bring you into my family. And it won't be nations now that are going to suffer to get that job done. It's God himself who suffers by sending his own Son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. That's what it cost him, the life and death of his own Son. And he sends us now as his disciples with that same task of reminding others and calling them back home. Sometimes we wonder, when we're members of a church for a long time, I wonder if anybody would notice if I would leave. We need people in the congregation, and I know there's lots here, who are good at reminding others, but we all need to do this. Reminding people that they matter. When you read something in the bulletin about somebody losing a loved one, and we all come to the funeral and we give our words of condolences, but what about a year later when we all get busy with our lives and that person's alone? And they wonder, does anyone still remember? Do they notice? Do they wonder? Maybe as you leave today and you pick up your stuff out of the mailboxes, you'll notice there's some mailboxes that are really full. And I don't know what the policy here is, but I know in our church that the elders should make a mail call and make a visit. But what if you did that? Don't leave it up to the elders, but you as an ordinary member, call somebody up and say, do you mind if I come over? I haven't seen you around for a while, and you really matter here. Friends, the God to whom we belong sends his Spirit to us to empower us to do things that maybe don't even come very naturally to us, even hard things like making a phone call. A while ago, we had supper with some friends who invited us to share a midweek meal. And when we got there, we noticed that our hosts had also invited another person, a member of the church who had lost his driver's license because of driving under the influence. And when that event happened, our host, who had known this man for many years, called him up and said, you know, we heard what happened, and we just want to be here for you as you get some help with your drinking. And this man is now in recovery. But what was so beautiful as we had supper together was that this invitation came to this man who probably felt like a colossal screw-up in his church community. Shame piled high on this man's back. And here he was, invited by friends who've known him all his life and helping him on his road to recovery. It was just such a beautiful picture of how God treats us. So why would we do anything less for others? I created you, says God. I formed you. I redeemed you. I called you by name. Folks, that is a promise that goes out to every single one of us. Those of us who are doing pretty well in our lives and those of us who are dealing with all kinds of DUIs, all different ways that we've messed up. A people who need reminders that they belong. Don't you want to belong to a community like that? A community that cares, that makes you belong even when you feel like you don't? There's a statement, I want to conclude with this. There's a statement that many of you have committed to memory. It was about this sense of belonging to God. It's in the Heidelberg Catechism, written 450 years ago, written by two 20-something-year-old guys, one called Zach and the other Casper. And I'd invite us to stand and just say these words together. Let the truths of God's love for us resound deeply in our souls. Notice the word belonging. Congregation, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way. without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things. Because I belong to him, Christ assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly ready. Pray. Father, thank you for this reminder that we belong to you and therefore also belong to each other. Thank you, too, that your word shows us that belonging is not about having it all together, because none of us do. But help us to become vulnerable with you as our God and with each other as your people. We pray it in the strong name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.
He calls me his own.